Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, Answer Connect, and Photify. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me recently about the comeback of a lifetime graphics that I've been sharing on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm using an app called Photify to create these images right from my phone. I can drop in a Social Geek Radio logo, have it up on social media in a matter of seconds. And our marketing assistant can do the same using logos, GIFs, and images that I've already approved. So a tip for all of you marketing pros at Franchise Systems, if you want to give your franchisees and their employees the ability to make a great local post, but you still control the brand, this is the way you do it. And right now, Photify is offering the small business package free for the next 6 months. Check it out today at photify.pro. All right, geeks, today we are talking with Emily Binder. She's the chief strategist of Beetle Moment Marketing out of Austin, Texas. Hey, Emily, how are you?
Hi, Jack. Doing great. How are you?
I am terrific. We are here in early July 2020, if you can believe that. It feels like it should be about the year 2023 by now. So anybody who's listening in and checking out some of the things we're going to talk about today with digital marketing and especially voice search, which I'm dying to ask you about, just know that this is where we are in the COVID world of July 2020. Emily, before we get into voice search and some of the other things that I wanted to pick your brain about today, give me a little bit of your background. What's your story?
My story is, after about a decade in marketing across all kinds of categories, I decided to go out on my own and ended up focusing in on voice marketing over the last 3 or 4 years with my consultancy, Beetle Moment Marketing. And I've had a lot of really cool clients, but have been really working on a lot of voice, whether that's podcasts or Alexa skills, flash briefings, things like that in the financial services industry. So I do all that. I am basically an evangelist for voice. I speak about it. I'm passionate about it. I host a couple of different shows. I have a podcast. I have a daily flash briefing mini podcast. And I do all that from here in Austin and rollerblade other than when I'm working on marketing stuff. That's my big hobby.
There you go. Before I ask you more about voice and specifically search and voice, I have to ask you about the name of your firm, Beetle Moment. Tell me about that.
Yes. So a Beetle Moment is a moment of synchronicity. It comes from a story from the Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung. And essentially, it means a moment when something that happens is more than just a coincidence. There's a greater connection and meaning. It all dates back to this story. It's a true story that Carl Jung recounted in one of his books about a patient that he had who was very rational and analytical and difficult to reach. And he was trying to tap into her ability to open up to greater meaning in the universe, the collective unconscious, Jungian psychology. Mm-hmm. And this one day they were in his office. This is Vienna, downtown. She's on the couch. And he says, okay, tell me about your dream last night. So she starts recounting the dream. And in the dream, there was a moment where her husband gave her this piece of jewelry. It was golden and it was a scarab. And right at the moment she described it, there was this tapping sound on the window. And he looked and saw that it was actually a scarabee beetle, almost the same one she was describing with her eyes closed in the dream. So he reached, grabbed it, said, open your eyes, here's your beetle. And this cracked open her third eye a little bit and kind of opened her up to greater meaning. And I read that story years ago. I was a psych major actually in college, and it always stuck with me. And I started saying in my life, oh, that's a Beetle moment. Whenever there was the moment of, it was such a great coincidence, I can't even explain it. And I thought when I was naming my business, I wanted an animal and I wanted a short name and something memorable and different. And also that I could own search for. So it checked all the boxes.
Right. Right. I love that. And because somebody already took plate of shrimp, I think. So
plate of shrimp.
Anytime somebody says plate of shrimp, sometime within the next 3 hours, you will see a plate of shrimp somewhere. So check that out.
Is that because all the tech companies are listening to us?
It could be. It really could be. Hold on. Let me check my phone. Yep. There we go.
Like an Applebee's pop-up ad pretty soon.
Got a nice Applebee's ad coming up on Instagram right now. So, okay. So I love the name. I think that really fits where you're going with search right now, because it feels like we're on this, we're in this like kind of perfect place where we've been talking about voice stuff for how long? 4 years, 5 years, and it's been going to be the year of voice for, you know, every year since 2015. But it really feels like we're kind of there now, and in maybe it kind of snuck up on us too, because I think we're all using voice search way more than we think we are. And any thoughts there as far as how this is going so far and how advanced we've gotten?
Every year for the last 2 or 3 years, we're saying it's the year of voice. Voice is the next thing. So it's already here. We're past the early adopter stage. Smart speakers are the fastest growing consumer technology of all time. They were literally adopted and reached 50% of the population faster than radio, television, computer, smartphone. This has outpaced the adoption of the iPhone. So the technology, the hardware that's in people's homes with these voice assistants is very telling for where is attention headed. And right now, a lot of that attention, 11 hours average each day on screens, is tap, type, and swipe. But that's very unnatural for us. It's not ergonomic and it's slow. Because if you look at words per minute and processing, you know, we can type something like, what is it? I'm losing my stat here, but we can speak much faster than we can type, and we can think and process words at over 400 words per minute. So
yeah. And what is typing like? I think really good typing is 60 a minute, something like that. And for me, with people with my skills, it's more like probably 20 per minute.
20 per minute. Are you hunting and pecking?
That's right. I have these two fingers to do all my typing for me. So I think we're kind of finally there. So what does that mean for not consumers, but for the average brand who's out there, or maybe even a small business that hasn't spent the past 4 or 5 years like you and most of your clients preparing for all of this voice search activity?
What does it mean for the average brand? Well, it's the same as when the internet began and everyone was running Yellow Page ads, and a few people said, maybe I should throw up a website. I don't know, GeoCities, we'll figure this out. And the guys who lagged behind and waited and didn't believe the hype, oh, no one's going to go online. No one's going to pay with their credit card online. That's not safe. Yeah. The people who were late to that game paid the price, and it's always a game of catch up. So the brands now that are thinking about voice marketing, and when I say voice, I mean it's recorded audio like this podcast, it's flash briefings, Alexa skills, Google Actions, so experiences on the voice assistants, also sonic branding. All of these ways that you start to participate and kind of claim your turf on voice, it's like having the website in the early days of the internet. It's just a storefront. It's being found, making sure that you're the one that explains who your brand is, who it's for, what you do, what you believe in, instead of someone else answering that question for you, or worse yet, the voice assistant guessing at some kind of canned response.
If you haven't been doing a very good job of branding your business for the past, let's say 5, maybe longer years, are you even further behind when it comes to voice search? Because people are going to search generic terms out loud, or instead of, you know, asking for a specific brand. Do you see a lot of brands struggling with that right now?
Sure. If you're behind on general branding, I mean, don't even start handling anything in the voice realm, because you need to get your ducks in a row and understand, like, what do we stand for? What's our messaging? Who's our audience? All of this. Voice is something that is the next phase, but I think having that foundation is important to do that first. As far as search and what you're asking about, kind of the keywords and brand terms and all of that, It is similar to regular SEO. You can call it voice search optimization or VSO. I hate to introduce any more buzzwords, but we'll just call it, you know, voice SEO.
Unless you already own those buzzwords, don't put them out there.
I know, we don't need any more acronyms. So with that, it's actually not that different from traditional SEO. There are some kind of new tactics and ways to get ranked and recognized as the authoritative answer when someone asks about your product or service on voice. Those queries are different from typed searches in a few key ways. They tend to be longer, they're more prose, they're more like spoken phrases as opposed to choppy keywords with typos. And the search results can be a little different based on whether that's a typed or spoken search, but same as trying to get featured as the Google featured snippet, that the same tactics that work for that, whether it's, you know, mobile, desktop, Google Assistant, they all will help to feed those same search results. It's just that people are now searching by voice more. In fact, 44% of respondents in Adobe's voice technology study less than a year ago said that they use voice technology in some form every day.
If I'm doing a voice search, how many results does the average person listen to before they just go with something? And I'm guessing for me, it's one or maybe two and probably no further, as opposed to if you're seeing a visual of your search results, you're probably apt to at least look down a page. Do I have that right?
Yes. And this is where it gets variable across devices and which voice assistant you're using. So there's this concept of position zero. And on voice, what that looks like is just being the single answer. And usually on Google voice search, it's the featured snippet. So that would be the one answer somebody listens for. If someone says and asks the Googlist, I think I forgot to mute my device, so I won't say, hey, G right now, but hey, G, what's the best podcast about marketing? And if you own that, Jack, if your podcast had done some optimization on your page to get that, I mean, good luck, but
right,
you would then be the number one result. And what is it? 8% of clicks, I believe, go to the featured snippet. It might be more than that, but that featured snippet is really powerful for voice and for on page, for mobile, for desktop.
I'm guessing Gary Vaynerchuk has that position right now.
No, actually, he hasn't updated his Alexa skill in like 3 years. It's amazing. Really? He was all evangelizing, okay, voice, 2018, maybe even 2017.
Yeah.
And then he had a flash briefing, one of the early ones. He never updated it, which is, it's too bad, but I'm sure he had other, you know, things he was working on. That's okay, because now my briefing is the number one for marketing.
Oh, look at you. Nice. So, but you know, you're still not selling as much wine as he is. So there you go.
True. I need to monetize it. That's another thing. So with voice, people wonder, so how do I advertise or how do I buy my search results? Is there paid search for voice? The answer is basically no. And that's because if you have ads on voice, especially when it's audio only versus multimodal, meaning we have smart speakers with a display, or mobile voice search with a display. When it's audio only, having an ad is an even worse, more interruptive, bad experience everything about advertising that we experience on screens. So there's no advertising. You can sponsor, but it's not an ad.
Yeah. Could you see though, and you mentioned some sonic branding earlier, could you see if someone did a good enough job with getting their brand out there in an audio fashion, you know, little sound effect stinger, whatever we want to call it this year. If somehow that could be worked into an ad that isn't 15 seconds long, because no one's going to put up with that, but something that's 1 second, you know, like some sort of little sonic branding, you know, piece before the search result. Do you think that kind of thing could be possible in the near future?
Sure. And sonic branding is so important because if you think about connecting with people emotionally, brand lives in the subconscious. Voice, music, memories, these are all stored in the same part of the brain. So when we have a sound, the reason there's an earworm that even exists and why jingles exist is that it hits you in that subconscious emotion area of the brain. And you develop not only affinity, but also association. It takes about 2 years to develop an association between a sound and a brand. Wow. So definitely get your sonic branding out in the wild now if you haven't yet. But yeah, I could see that because no one wants to listen for 15 seconds. I can barely deal with YouTube pre-roll for 15 seconds. So brands should be using sonic branding, audio marks, audio logos on everything they do, every medium consistently.
Right. And I just heard it go off in the background there too. So you're saying 2 years for a brand and a sound to sort of become one in a typical consumer's mind. 2 years, that's forever.
Well, yes, but think about logos. Think about logos that don't have text on them and how recognizable they are and how long it takes. And I mean, all of the kind of brand marketing that you have to do, billboards, TV, over time for the most famous logos in the world. You see the Apple logo, you see the swoosh. It took some time for us to know what that was.
It sure did. Yeah. And I think it's, I'm guessing sound takes a little longer than visuals for most people. I think the standard in the music industry is still, it takes the average listener about 15 times to hear the hook of a song, to recognize the song. And I know a lot of people in the music business and musicians think, oh my God, that's outrageous, 15 times. But if you think about it, it would take you quite a few times to recognize, you know, something that ended up being your favorite song or a theme song from a TV show you like or something like that. 15 is not that bad of a number, actually.
Not at all. It's twice the 7 about. You know, the 7 exposures until you remember something. So I mean, it makes sense to me. And you have to pay the price for something that's even more impactful in a quicker amount of time.
Where can a brand invest some time, resources, and money into sonic branding as far as if they want to, you know, really get their you know, audio logo, as someone describes it, where should they be putting that? Is it at the beginning of podcasts that they're doing for their brand? Is it at the beginning of every YouTube video they do? What are you recommending to clients right now?
It's all of those things, Jack. And the consistency of the sonic branding is just as important as the consistency of your visual brand. So if you have a website, there's a color palette. There are, you know, the brand toolkit, the typefaces, the look and feel. If you have that and it looks one way, and then on your Instagram or maybe somewhere else, things don't look the same, it's discordant. And when in our brain we see something that doesn't add up, we immediately don't trust it.
Yeah.
The same consistency that's important with that visual brand, equally important with the sonic brand. So if you have theme song on your podcast, it should be a similar motif or kind of master sound palette that is applied to anything you're doing on YouTube, or even quick audiograms, or if you're able to access it, Twitter's new voice tweet feature. All of these have to line up from that master sonic mood board and kind of theme. And you can find an audio mark or intro music or bumpers or, you know, the background for an ad read from that master theme.
Do you find a lot of brands are not investing in the quality of that sound versus what they might spend, you know, $1 million coming up with a great logo and visual for a website, but they're using, you know, some really terrible free music that they found on the internet for their sound?
Yes. And people are so much more likely, marketers are likely to not think that's worth investing in, which is sound. And, oh, let me just grab some free stock music and slap it on my video.
Right.
Okay. To start, just, you know, but done is better than perfect. But when you get down the road and you have kind of a body of work, I had this problem on my own YouTube channel stuff from 3 years ago. My sonic branding was totally different then. I didn't even know what sonic branding was. Uh-huh. I have like funky music and I have some guitar. And then now my actual sonic branding I had done by Audio Brain, which is one of the firms that I highly recommend for sonic branding. My whole sonic palette is based on these attributes, and it's for my brand. It's for my podcasts, it's for my videos, everything. And it kind of conveys that sound of technology and future and optimism, excitement, intelligence. Like these were the attributes that we worked together on, and they developed sound custom that conveyed that.
I love that. I think there are so many podcasts, and I listen to more podcasts than anybody I know. I listen to podcasts all day long, and every podcast I'm listening to in the marketing field has virtually the same music. And I'm going to say it all sounds exactly like what Seth Godin is doing. You know, it's like a nice bass line, right? And it feels like every marketing person out there doing a podcast is just following that trend. Do you recommend making it sound kind of like everybody else's, or are you telling your clients to get out there and do something different to stand out?
It should sound like you. And hopefully that is different, because if you are the same as everybody else, why should anybody listen to you?
Ah, there you go.
But if you're going to emulate somebody, emulate Seth Godin. He's obviously a genius.
Right.
But, you know,
we're going to steal from the best.
That bass on Akimbo. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Now that is branded. Like you will never associate that with anything else after you've listened to a few episodes.
And I'm going to ruin it for you right now. I also, when I listen to it, the number one thing I hear is, oh, Seth lifted that from Seinfeld.
Oh, I hear that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're so right.
Sorry out there for anybody who, if I just ruined that for you, but we'll give Seth a pass.
You know, you asked me though, are marketers investing in this? And I wanted to share a stat that I thought, you know, the audience might be interested in. VoiceBot did some research on this. Adobe has as well, but as of 2019, 88.5% of marketers believe that voice assistants will be at least somewhat important as a marketing channel. 37.6% said they will be significantly important. 25% said extremely important. So there's awareness. People know this is coming. This is where computing is headed. It's going to voice interaction. That's our actual human API, not tap, type, and swipe. Not interacting in this literally digital way. But these marketers that have this awareness, it's the kind of thing where, oh, it's on the roadmap. Oh, okay, maybe next year we'll put it in the budget for Q2 next year. The thing with voice though is it's moving so fast, you really can't wait. You can't delay doing this work because it does take thought. And you mentioned earlier, our brand spending $1 million like they do on their big logo redesign, like repapering everything and all the signage. The amount of work and money that we put into the visuals. I will say this, MasterCard and Visa in the last year or two did spend millions of dollars purely on their sonic branding to come up with, in one case with Visa, it's called the signature acceptance sound. It's less than a second long, millions.
Wow.
Months and months of work. It's like this little, I have an episode with one of, actually the guy who did it, on my podcast. If anyone wants to check it out, maybe you can throw it into the show notes.
I sure will.
About Mikel Arnesa and MasterCard.
What's the sound? What's it sound like? Is it like an electronic effect, or is it an actual sound effect that we'd recognize?
It sounds electronic, and they tried to cram the following into a split second. Successful, accepted, payment went through, don't worry, thank you, everything's good. And you should feel positive about this experience.
Wow. That made my head hurt listening to that sound and trying to figure that out as you were speaking. Wow. What other advice do you have for people who probably haven't thought much about this, but they might know that they need to do something? Where do you start?
Start by actually trying it out yourself and kind of seeing what the experience is like. So most people have access to some voice-enabled device. It could be your smartphone. Maybe you have an Amazon Echo. Maybe you have a Google Home Hub or an Apple Home, or even Cortana if you're on a PC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ask the voice assistant something that you think your customer might ask if they were in a research phase when they're in the buyer journey. And or maybe they're later on and down the funnel, they're actually trying to find your brand specifically. Ask a few of those top questions that you've noticed are, let's say, the five key ways that people find you on your analytics. Just take a look at the keywords that people are using. what does the voice assistant say? Does it actually deliver you? Does it deliver a competitor? Does it give a Wikipedia response? And if it's not the experience that you want the customer to have, then you need to do a little work. And it can all be done through content marketing.
Yeah, that's where you need to spend your time. So just like old-fashioned SEO back in the old days of, you know, 3 years ago, find out what people are actually searching and become one of those results. Don't try to change human behavior. I think too many brands spent a lot of time doing that.
That's true. You can't change people's behavior just by telling them to do something. I mean, they will change their behavior when the new option has less friction and is more convenient or offers them some benefit.
Yeah.
And obviously the benefit is inherent with voice. It's hands-free, germ-free, instant. You can multitask.
Yeah, think about that here in 2020. Now we're looking for germ-free solutions. Voice is it. I also think once we get back to traveling, commuting, driving more places, spending more time in airplanes and airports and all of those wonderful things we did last year, maybe there will be a huge surge in, you know, just sort of the recognition that that voice is really where it's at for most marketers, maybe over the next 6 to 12 months. Any thoughts there?
Oh, sure. And the connected experience from getting ready at home, checking your flight time, grabbing an Uber. I mean, all of these touch points can be controlled by voice. But what marketers should think about and really aim for is having that truly multimodal experience. So I interviewed Jason Fields, who he's the chief strategy officer at Voiceify, also on my podcast. And we dived into like, what does it look like to have a multimodal experience in the future? What does traveling in the future look like? And if you are home and you're on your smart speaker, or maybe you're on like the Kindle TV or Apple, doesn't matter. All of these assistants can show you kind of different results based on the device, the size and the context. And if you're in the car, if you're in the Uber, you're on your smartphone using voice there, and you say, what time is my flight on time? Or is the Sky Club open? You can get those results in a way that is contextually appropriate for the device and the moment. So thinking about that and having all of those things be voice enabled, whether that's inside of your app, that could even be part of it. But voice enabling these things, making sure that you're optimized for voice search, because we have over 30% of searches being done by voice. That's a third
amazing stat that, you know, going back to our opening where we were talking about how this has been, you know, the next big thing for many years. 30% is massive. 30% of every search done out there. Wow. Before we go, Emily, I want to ask you about, and voice could be included here, but you work on a lot of different platforms. Is there anything else out there you're seeing outside of Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn? Where are you getting more traction with some of the terrific content that you're putting out? And where do you see marketers spending more time in the next 6 to 12 months?
Instagram, well, it's owned by Facebook, which is the most evil company ever, but it's still the best deal in advertising. I don't see those ad dollars going anywhere. In fact, what we've seen from recent, who was it? The IAB put out stats on where are marketers spending their money the rest of 2020.
Yeah.
And the money is essentially going more toward digital, and there's less in traditional, terrestrial, out of home, television, those budgets are expected to go down. Podcast advertising, even PPC, I don't even like to talk about PPC, but
right. It's
there. Those will go up. So despite the fact that everyone is spending their money in kind of checking the boxes on these things that we're already familiar with, I still think you have to look where the puck is headed. So don't kind of not be present where the attention is currently, but remember it always is shifting. So you ask, what platforms are people moving to? Here's an interesting anecdote. This may not be a prediction for all categories, but Twitch, really interesting.
Yeah.
So live streaming, and you and I talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
I had a guest on my show named Wall Street Booyah, and he's an anonymous. It's crazy. And John Andrews, who connected us, was the one who told me about Booyah.
And this guy Booyah, folks, in case you haven't seen this guy, he is, and I'm not making this up, he's wearing a Batman mask during all of his Twitch videos and conversations. And it's because he has to remain anonymous, right? Like, he can't let anybody know his true identity.
That's right. And it's financial news, but it's on Twitch and it's totally wacky, but he's growing really fast. He's over 6,000 followers and he streams all day while the market's open 5 days a week. And it's really intelligent commentary. And yeah, all the people that are tuning in and in the live chat are really smart for the most part. So you could say, keep an eye on that, because the old school way of broadcast and one-way conversations and like cable news and all of that isn't interactive, and people seem to like interacting. So how do you take your content to that?
I think what he's doing right, and what you're jumping in there and doing right, is not seeing a platform for what it was last year, which in the case of Twitch, it was for video gamers, right? But saying, all of these people are already here, what else could we introduce into this system and start talking about financial stuff on a platform that was supposedly made for gamers? And if you think about it, that's where we are with every other platform. You know, Facebook was a platform for college students, and Instagram was a platform for a younger generation than who's using it now. And I think with Twitch or anything else, we've got to stop looking at who, you know, society has deemed, you know, owns this platform, or, you know, oh, that's just for kids. You know, TikTok is just for kids. I don't think so. I've seen the numbers on TikTok, especially through this pandemic, and TikTok is definitely not for kids anymore. So I think taking what people say a platform is and introducing what you want to do there, as opposed to 10 years ago where everyone was just trying to create a new platform specifically for, you know, some activity. And it's like, no, you've got to find where people are already and jump into the conversation there. So thank you for hipping me on Twitch, because I think without you and John introducing this to me, I was just going to be another person who walked right on by.
Case in point, none of us are in the age demographic much younger, like a Generation Z, that you would normally think associate with Twitch.
Yeah.
I'm not. I had never been on it. I'm in my early 30s. I felt like I aged out. I'm too old for Snapchat. I don't do TikTok. I don't get it. Like the UI on those apps, it doesn't really make sense to me a lot of the time, because I'm like, the interface that I grew up with was just a little different and it was much more desktop.
Right.
And that involves that gets into design, but you're right. Just look at the platform and think, well, how else could we use this?
Right. Right. And I think that's the thing. So, we're going to be back in just a minute with some contact information if people want to learn a little bit more about you and your clients and where they can reach out to you. First, one quick note. Today's show is brought to you by Answer Connect. Imagine your customers and potential customers reaching a live person every time they call and never getting a voicemail. Answer Connect is making that happen with a team of professional, upbeat, friendly customer service experts ready to impress your callers and deliver your messages around the clock. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone, a virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, and appointments scheduled. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Emily, thanks so much for being here today. I would love to have you come back maybe a little bit later this year, and we can see if everything we just talked about with voice search is going to happen, or maybe we were all wrong. Does that sound good?
Oh, sure. I'm happy to come back.
Excellent. And in the meantime, if our listeners have any questions for you, they want to learn a little bit more about Beatle Moment, where can they reach you?
Beatlemoment.com is the home of my consultancy, and I have a blog there, my podcast. And then also, if you want to book a consultation with me and just get some answers quickly, emilybender.com/call.
Oh, great. That's a nice, easy place to get to. And I'll have links to all of those in the show notes today. Emily, thanks for being here, and we'll chat with you down the road.
You're welcome, Jack. It was a pleasure.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for your comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020 Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.